working at all, Dave?
Apparently not.
Yeah, I guess not.
All you need to do is clean the cobwebs out.
My ears too.
Yeah, I think we should get started so we won't last.
Anything on the reflector at all?
In spite of problems with this great big fancy scoop mic, I think I'd like to get started. Thank you all for coming. I want to describe why this meeting has been called. There have been a number of attempted assaults on campus. There have been assorted threats. And I suppose you, like all of us, have been hearing all kinds of rumors about what's going on. Is there some sort of a major crime wave washing over our campus and so on? That is not true, happily. A number of women got together, and then a number of a mixed group of people on this campus got together, and we thought that probably we needed to do two or three different things. First of all, you have a right to know what indeed is going on and what we're trying to do about it, and be reassured that this is not an unusual number of sexual assaults or thefts. There is indeed no crime wave here, except that we want everyone to be safe in their job or safe as a student, and we want to have as few of these things as possible. Unfortunately, Fairbanks is no different than any other community. These things happen. This university is no different than any other university. These sorts of things happen. There is always a temptation of not talking about it. Some peaceful little bucolic college or university would terrible things happen from time to time. It's not disgraceful that they happen. It is disgraceful if we don't take any steps to prevent them from happening, if we haven't done every possible thing to ensure safety of our people. So we'll talk to you some of the things that have indeed happened so you can dispel rumors. You will know exactly what has happened, so on. A second thing that we want to talk about is how people protect us. Now, I say people, the list isn't just a woman. Indeed, the one assault we have had on this campus this year has been a woman, but it is not unknown that men are raped. Certainly men and women can be mugged and things taken away from them, and certainly thefts can happen in anybody's office or shop or wherever they are. Also, we must work together as people in order to protect one another. So we are going to spend a little time between Captain Guzzi and our security department in talking about some measures we as individuals take to protect people once. We don't want to do this endlessly, but all simple. It is of a strange thing, and it's not something happens to you, and unfortunately once long ago not here, Banks, this sort of happened to guys that the magnificent, but they only happen after something has happened. Really the first ability for our own protector, male or female, or adult, is ourselves, not to get ourselves into positions awful is lied to us. Colleen, I'll tell you a little bit about what the Women's Center is specifically doing, both in terms of creation, of helping people to protect, and also a sense that can happen if indeed, unfortunately, some has happened. And finally, and to my standpoint, campus-wide, the most important thing we want from you people and for you to us, that where are the danger places in this building? We all work here. Many of us are here at nighttime or at weekends. This building, frankly, is a gigantic rabbit warren of all kinds of dead ends and spooky places. We need from you suggestions. If you are at the leaving the building and going, here are the best routes to take, the best lit ones, the safest ways to go. What are the dangerous sort of routes that you can easily avoid? What are the spooky, scary bathrooms that are so far away you wouldn't dream of going there and you recommend that people don't go there? What can we do? Are there places in this building or around the perimeter of the building that perhaps should be better lighted? I have suggestions about we perhaps install stuff. See, it's perfectly well. The only phones I know are the library, and Wood Centers are closed after a while. Now, obviously, phones and light this cost money. Mixed bag. Sometimes they have on what kind of protective devices do we need so we can think about them. New people and we get from other buildings a lot of information and impetus at large. I sure as heck can persuade the chancellor that we need to buy some of the things. I guarantee I can, but we need input from you people. So let me use a Captain Wally who was about to hand here.
That's probably too low.
Thank you, Dean Shepard. I'd like to start by first thing. I appreciate the opportunity down here to the grassroots of the and where perhaps security is most needed. And I would like to start off, first of all, by reassuring you that at this particular time, to my knowledge, best of the statistics that we have available, there is no major crime wave here at the University of Alaska. I say that because only yesterday we had one of our officers go through our various reports for 1982 and also for the reports for this year, and the stats definitely back us up, as I'll point out later on. First of all, I would like to take the time out to give you a little background on myself. I've been over here at the university since April 1 of 76, so mathematically you're going to see that I have a number of years working here at night, where I had to go through the various nooks and crannies and perhaps even had the occasion to ID some of you people. Anyone out there, show of hands, that I may have run across at night, either report-wise, IDs, and so forth? One, two, three. Okay, thank you. I recognize that fella back there. Let's see, they still fit, too, I believe. Seriously, I've had an excellent opportunity to get my feet wet, so to say, getting out here in the nooks and crannies, the dark corners of the theater, and meet some of you and look at some of your problems. I would like to begin by telling you a little bit about our particular department. I think that's extremely important because the Department of Security is open 24 hours a day, the proverbial 7 days a week, the year round. That's very important because in some cases, we have incidents that do go down here on campus. They are not reported to us. In certain cases, we find out by way of the troopers that they were turned into the troopers rather than the people over here at security. I believe and I would highly recommend that any incident that does go down here on campus, we should be the first ones to know about it. You have an immediate response from the security officers here on the university, because at no time will you find less than three officers or a dispatcher on duty. All of these people are equipped with the portable radios, which I'm sure that you're familiar with, especially if you're working in your office or you're sleeping up there in the dorm, and all of a sudden you hear the familiar jingle of the keys or the crack of the radio as the dispatcher comes on at about 3 o'clock in the morning and you're just about ready to doze off. That seems to be the worst time that we get a radio message out across the airways. So the security officer is on duty. He's out there roaming around. The university, the 2,250 acres, is broken down into approximately six zones. Ideally, between 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning, you have a sergeant and five officers that are out there on either car or foot patrol. They have the opportunity to respond to faraway places such as Yak Estates within, well, here again, it depends on the driving time, which is affected by weather, the traffic, and so forth. Probably the highest driving time, the most driving time, is approximately 10 minutes. You keep those things in mind because there are times we get complaints that we called security, we didn't get an immediate response. Those are some of the considerations that have to be taken into mind whenever a situation does go down. We have approximately
5 full-time officers, Mr. Florian, the director, myself, 2 sergeants, and also Officer Ray, who do most of the supervision of approximately 25 to 30 students. The students do most of the door shaking. They are probably the ones that you encounter when you're working late or perhaps doing your thing during the day. I make a point of this because you keep in mind these are not professionals that are out there doing the job. However, we're real proud of them because of their accomplishments in the past. We have many of our students that have gone on to other law enforcement agencies. Many of them get their teeth cut over here working in the security department. Because of our high turnover rate, we run into some situations where an officer may walk up to you and directly ask you for an identification. How many in here have run into an ID problem whenever they're out there at night or during the day? Just a show of hands. Okay, that's a very good point because I like to see it knowing that they're out there doing their job. Now, how they do that job, that leaves just a little bit to be desired. However, we're glad to see that they're out there IDing the individuals in the different departments. Whenever you do run across an officer that does come in for an ID, we appreciate your cooperation. He's only trying to do his job. In a lot of cases, they're not familiar with all of the faces that belong in the different departments, so they appreciate the cooperation. Our department has 3 patrol cars. They're used for various things, stakeouts, mostly car patrol. We usually have about 33% of the vehicles tied up in maintenance most of the time because of the conditions up here. Every one of them are radio equipped for the instant replay of whatever situation we run into. They're equipped for emergencies, flares. How many in here have had the occasion to call upon security to have a locked vehicle broken into? Locked vehicle broken into. Is that a twist? That is a twist. Okay. We do run into public service where we have the various devices for sliding in. Excuse me. Okay. Reminded that time's moving on. Elaboration on this so-called crime waiver statistics. We went ahead through the reports and we found out that during 1982, we had approximately 15 or 20 incidents in the fine arts area. This year, in 83, we only had about 6. Now, these are incidents that are reported to us. If you have an incident that does go down and you don't report it to us, it doesn't hit the reports, it doesn't get into the statistics. So probably the biggest recommendation is here, report it. You may remain anonymous, that's fine with us, but at least it gives us some insight into what's happening out here, the type of property that is being taken. For instance, I can go over the statistics and I can tell you that if you're one to use the Patty Building, that I would highly recommend that you take a lock with you whenever you go down to the Patty Building. One of the things we run into is a high loss of wallets. I mentioned wallets and purses because wallets and purses are turned up missing from out of the fine arts area. And one of the things you can do in this particular area is keep your material locked up. If you have a stranger that's moving through the area, raise a question. Who is that particular person? Call us up. We'll send an officer over to check them out. Theft. Okay, we've covered that very briefly. Get down to probably the more interesting things, such as sexual assault. A lot of people cringe when they hear the words. Don't blame you. I saw a assault take place on Sunday down at the Patty Building, right out in plain view, and this was where a male was assaulted. It doesn't happen here on the university. Well, it did happen. This was at the concert, and it can happen to the men. And the young lady that laid the knee to the groin area put that male down just as fast as a linebacker tackling the quarterback on a sack. He went down for the count. Sexual assaults on the females. The facts are that Back in 1980, we had 5 rapes here on campus. 81, 82, and so far this year, we've only had 1 sexual assault. Now, whenever we talk about sexual assault, you have to keep in mind the definition that is spelled out in the Alaska statute. Very briefly, it means penetration. It also means that there is some harm being done there. And this is what is used in identifying a sexual assault as far as the courts go. We may have other situations where a lady is grabbed, rolled in the snowbank, and it may turn out to be classified as a kidnapping, harassment, disorderly conduct. We have no control over that. That's spelled out in the statute, and these are the way that the facts turn up in our statistics. Any questions or comments at this particular time about the sexual assaults here on campus? Yes.
What are the specific details of the incidences that you know about?
That we know about?
Yeah, the ones that have caused all of this.
Okay, probably most of you have heard about the tunnel incident and also the one over here at the stairs. You probably read in the November issue of the Sun Star where one of the individuals was already picked up and arrested for sexual assault. The tunnel incident, we're still undergoing, or that particular incident is undergoing investigation, so all of the details can't be released on it. But whenever a situation does go down, we go over to the area that the situation has taken place, and we'll try to rectify any of the wrongdoings that have taken place there, such as lighting. Additional lighting was put in down there at the tunnel area. Over at our department, we stepped up foot patrols in the area of the steps and also the tunnels. Our security officers were required to enter into their reports whenever they made a patrol through this particular area. We asked for high visibility. That is, the patrol officer with his flashlight is looking into the bushes along the walkways and into the tunnels. Yes?
What time, what place did this assault take place?
Okay, the two that occurred, I believe, were early in the morning and also around mid-afternoon.
What place?
Pardon?
What place?
Oh, over at the tunnel and also the steps, right.
The ones that go down, yeah.
Now, the steps are the ones leading from the totem pole on down to physical plant. Mm-hmm. Yes?
How often do you make foot patrols? How often in which areas? Are you just stepping it up in that one area, or are you going all over campus?
We're zeroing in, first of all, on the areas where the incidents have taken place because we recognize that the greatest volume of foot traffic is taking place in those particular areas. If you recall, we completed the parking lot down over the side of the hill around the Farmers Loop Road. You'll notice approximately 10 o'clock in the morning that this parking lot with about a 324-car capacity is loaded, and so is the Blaine parking lot. Consequently, we recognize that there is a lot of foot traffic going down into these areas. So we zero in on areas such as this. Yes?
What do you mean when you said you didn't have any control over the sexual harassment? Do you mean the terminology or the actual...
Oh, the writing of the statute. This is correct. We ourselves don't write the statutes. They're written through Juno and published out to us. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is anything being done to ensure the safety of the students who catch buses going to Ryan and the high schools from this campus?
You're getting into the school buses now, and that's a little out of our particular line.
These students are standing on campus grounds in the dark waiting for school buses. And I want to know if any of those, if there's anything being done to ensure the safety of those students.
Very good point. We would have to put that question aside and see if we can find an answer for you. Safety Officer George Riley here.
I might respond to one point, and that is that we've looked at campus lighting, and we're continuing to look at a number of campus lighting projects, and that is one of the questions we ask, is where are these places these people are standing? And one thing that we did last year is to move them. Although they traditionally catch the bus on one side of a particular road, I have them standing on the other side of the road, because the side where they were standing and where the bus stops is very vulnerable to people making a turn there and sliding right over into them. So I have them standing on this side of the road, on the inside of the turn, and not crossing until after the bus gets there. So we have addressed it in at least two places we've made that change.
Yeah, I read in the Sun Star about a man coming into married student housing apartment and standing over the bed while they were sleeping, and she woke up and saw him and he ran off. I would assume that means keep my door locked at all times, but does security patrol the married student housing around here very often? I haven't seen them in there, in the halls, like up Harwood Hall.
They, for the most part, will patrol through those areas. We have a sergeant on duty, also a student CP, who is required to patrol through all of the areas, all of the so-called zones here on campus. For the most part, the close zones down around the classrooms and so forth are taken care of by the student officers. So they are down for patrol. Yes?
About the possibility of installing a couple of alarms in that tunnel.
Yeah.
Can we hold up just a minute on that? I want to get to Colleen now, and then when we come back, we can talk about ideas for doing things. I will say, in general, right now, we're not really in a position to say what's possible and what's not, because, you know, there's a sort of cost effectiveness, and does it have so many bugs that it's not worthwhile. But we certainly want to get every single idea, like, and danger spots like the kids on campus leaving to go off campus and buses and so on. And we will make a big list of that, and we will make sure with a lot of people on this campus is looked over and the very best ideas taken out of that and implemented. Okay, Colleen Doyle.
Hi, I'm really glad to see all of you here, and I'm really glad for the opportunity to address this. Today, I'm going to discuss prevention, and there's just three things, basically. Prevention, the key to it lies in awareness. Okay, I just want you to remember these things. Trusting your intuition and assertive behavior. Okay, we're going to talk about prevention. What is awareness? Wrong paper. Know yourself. Know your abilities, what you can do and what you can't do. That is the essence of it all. You got to know yourself and what you can do. Okay, how do you react in a crisis? When you're driving down the street and somebody pulls in front of you, think about a situation like that. What do you do in that situation? How do you react? That gives you the key to how you're going to react in a crisis if someone comes up and tries to assault you, attack you, stop you from moving in any way. Just think about these things, and I'd like you to go home and think about these things and assess your behavior. Are you a good talker? The only reason why I bring that up is because historically, cases that I can name in New York City with prostitutes being assaulted, cases here in Fairbanks, some women, okay, have talked themselves out of it. They've talked themselves out of it by talking so much and distracting the assailant that they got to run away. Okay, this is a very historical example. A prostitute in New York City Central Park talked herself out of being raped by someone and telling this big story about all these horrible things that she had. Use your wit, use your mind, okay? I mean, the guy got scared and he took off, and that's the truth. That is the honest-to-God truth, and that's just one case. Okay, be conscious. I can't stress enough about being conscious and aware of your surroundings. I'm talking about when you're here in the Fine Arts Building, up in the speech department area, and you're walking down that hallway to leave the building and go to your car in the Fine Arts lot, and it's 12 midnight. I mean, I know. I went to school here. Okay, I've been here a long time. I know what that hallway is like and how many people are up there late at night, early in the morning if you have an 8 o'clock class. Almost no one. How many people go down that hall? Zero. Yeah. You know, There's a mech room down there. There's a water fountain. There are places where people can hide. And if you were to be assaulted there, not very many people would come by, I mean, in that period of time. You know, take well-lit paths, well-traveled areas. Know who works around you, who belongs in the building. Know your neighbor, you know, and report strangers that you see. That's the whole essence of being ID'd. You know, when I was a security guard, people loved, well, there was one person who didn't, but there were people who, professors in particular, who didn't mind me IDing them because they knew that I was doing my job and that they were safe because if there was a fire, I could say, hey, Professor so-and-so is in the LV building on third floor seismology lab. Let's get him out, okay? Know where you are. Be aware. Don't walk around in this little mindless sleepwalking bit. I know all of us do it. We're rushing to school. We're driving our cars. We're thinking about all the things we have to do. You know, I got to write this paper. I got to make this appointment. And you're just zooming from one point A to B, not thinking about who's walking behind you, who's next to you, what is out there in front of you. There's a bush coming up. I mean, it's a dark area. And this happens. I mean, look at the forestry building. There's some really nice hidden bushes around the sidewalk there. These are the things that I'm talking about. Awareness and be alert. How do you dress? Okay, a lot of women do not address this issue because we want to look nice. We want to look great for our office. Think about the kinds of clothes that the industry wants us to buy. Okay, I'm talking about clogs. Wow, far out, man, they're really in. I really want to wear my clogs to work, but can I run in them? Can I? You know, a lot of us can and some of us can't. You got weak ankles? Gonna trip? You know, I've tried running. I used to wear them in high school. Okay, things like that. Tight pants, long dresses, trip. Okay, slip, spike heels. Those are really coming back in again. How many of us can walk from here to Constitution Hall to go to the bookstore in spike heels and say some guy runs up behind you and puts his arm around you? Are you going to run? Well, you could use the spike heel. Jab, okay? But get out of them and run. All right? That's what you want to do. You want to be comfortable. Feel comfortable with yourself and always, again, awareness, knowing yourself. Trust your intuition, okay, and be assertive. And that in particular is a problem with women. And hopefully the Women's Center is going to address that because that's my baby. Anyway, try and remember to be assertive. I don't necessarily mean aggressive. Let your needs be known. Like, for instance, if you're at a party or some stranger comes up to you and he's talking, but he's invaded your space, which is basically your arm's length. He's coming a little too close to you. When I'm talking about assertiveness, I mean say, please move a little further away. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable. You know, I don't like to be touched that way, and I don't want to be hugged right now. You can say that. That's within your power, and it's your right. No one has the right to touch you against your will. Okay? Women have been taught that this isn't so, but I'm telling you, it's okay. You can do it, and do it. Now, we were talking about sexual assaults. I'm sure many of you have read recently, within the past year, of acquaintance rape, date rape, as it's called. It's a fairly new idea, but it's been around a long time. Okay? Most people thought the big myth is we get raped by strangers, they jump out of the bushes. Not true. Not true. Okay? What is an acquaintance? What's an acquaintance? Somebody tell me? Right, it's like a friend of a friend, someone you slightly know, but you really don't know very much about them. That's what date rape and acquaintance rape is all about. And roughly speaking, 70% of all sexual assaults are acquaintance rapes. People you know, a guy you went on a date with, a blind date, he pressures you into whatever. Okay, that's some of the things that we're talking about. Be aware, know who your friends are. Are you going to trust them? That's a real important issue here. Do you trust this person that you're meeting? Do you know anything about them, where they came from, where they're going? You know, can you trust them? That's real important. Okay, I just want to show you a couple of things. Some books that are available. We have some here. These are from FPD, Fairbanks Police Department. Fairly good. Good information. some of the, whoops, I just lost it. Oh, well, we can get some more. The other one's from Wicca, okay? You can buy these in the bookstore, $3. Proceeds go to Wicca. Excellent, excellent. Resources against sexual assault. As a matter of fact, I got a lot of my ideas out of here besides the FPD one plus a training manual. And I could go into this for really a long period of time. But I want you to remember the three things, okay? Awareness, trusting your intuition, assertive behavior. No matter what you're doing, you can do all those things. When you walk down the street, how do you walk? Do you walk as you own the street? Do you feel self-assured? You know, when we're talking about knowing yourself, how do you feel? Am I confident? Am I strong? Am I weak? Am I dull? Okay, when there's an assailant out there, someone who wants to make you his victim, he is going to look for someone who shuffles down the street and kind of looks meek and mild and doesn't look you in the eye and act assertively. Own this street. It's yours. You're there, you know. Walk down well-lit streets. Don't go in. Walk away from the building. Walk near the street. When you're driving in your car, have the doors locked. Because I have known of women in Washington, D.C. who have been assaulted because they stopped at a stoplight in the middle of the night and a guy came up and opened the door. Okay, and many of us don't think of that. We lock the door when we leave our car at a shopping center, but do we lock it when we get in? When you get in, look behind your seat. Okay, park in well-lit areas close to the building where you're going. All right, I'm talking about common sense. Okay, I know it's hard. Okay, I know it's hard around here. I do know that. Okay, I do acknowledge that. I have to park far away too. Really, I park across campus most of the time. Some of the other things, and I'm not going to go into everything, but you know, your telephone, your name in the phone book. Some people will disagree with me on this, but they really advocate for women in particular to use your initials both in the phone book and on your mailbox. And it's not paranoia. I know men who do it. The more who do it, the less we have little people calling us on the phone and breathing funny things in our ears. The other things, peepholes in your doors. Don't open the door until someone identifies themselves. And let's see, just a couple of tools, legal weapons you could use. Carry a whistle. I can't whistle very well, but carry a whistle with you. Scream fire if you're being attacked, because they find out that that gets more attention than screaming rape. Okay? It does. People want to put out fires, all right? You know? A lot of people don't want to get involved, all right? The other thing, a lemon, the plastic lemon we buy at the grocery store, fill it with ammonia. You can spray it up to 15 feet. Hairspray even. Hairspray in the eyes, all right? Gives you enough time to run. Now, I'm not advocating smoking as an ex-smoker. Lit cigarettes, same thing. My father, in Hawaii, where I'm from, warded off an attacker who was trying to steal money from him by taking the cigar and jabbing it in his eye and took off running. Okay? Men can do it too, all right? They can. Umbrellas. Now, I know we don't use umbrellas very much up here, but it's a good weapon. You can jab it in the stomach and in the neck. Okay? You know, don't swing it wildly, all right? Hat pins, I don't really advocate that because, you know, it can get poked on you too, but they suggest sometimes to pin it in your clothes and use it, but you have to be up close. But that can be used easily against you, and I don't really advocate that. I think the ammonia is good, the lit cigarette, the umbrella is good, and I brought my keys because I talked about this earlier. Always have your keys ready no matter where you go, whether it's to your car or to your house. Don't fumble in your purse standing by the car trying to get in. I used to do that a lot. Right now, what I suggest is when you're walking out to your car, you have your keys ready. You put them in between your fingers like this. Okay? I mean this sincerely. Have them like this. Like, let's say this is my car key. As I'm walking up to my car, I have my bags and things ready, and I have my keys like this in case someone comes up, I can scratch them across the face, okay? If you don't have as many keys as me, one, two keys even works. If not, you can use the heel of your hand up the nose, right, break their nose, whatever. It'll give you enough time to get away. And again, have your key ready so you can hop in the car and take off. Now, I'm going to summarize again. What are the three things? Awareness, trusting your intuition, and assertive behavior. I'd really like all of you to analyze your behavior and be aware. Finally, I just want to tell you a little bit about the Women's Center. It's up in the Health Center on the other side where the fire department is. The Women's Center offers brown bag cinemas. We have brown bag luncheons, and some of those will be coming up where we will be telling you a little bit more about prevention, self-defense, and they'll be held at the Wood Center Multi-Level Lounge starting December 15th. They will go on through next semester. The Women's Center has a library. You can come up there and have lunch. You can meet with some of us. As a matter of fact, we're having a holiday party tonight, 5 to 7, the room next to the pub. You're all invited. Come and find out what we're all about. And the other thing is, I think again this year, in the spring, we'll probably be doing another Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Awareness Week. All right, and I really hope some of you will attend, see the movies, some talks, and let's brainstorm and make this place a safer place to live. Thanks.
Thanks, Colleen. I would like now to hear suggestions. We've got the one which is good about the kids going off campus on buses, and there was another one on lighting or something. I forget, alarms. What was it? Yes.
If you're working late with someone you have never seen before, for example, in the pottery studio, find out not only their name, but a lot about them.
That's a very good idea, knowing who it is that is there you're working with. May turn out to be a good friend eventually. Any other places in this building that we should maybe are not well lighted? George?
Betty, let me tell everybody some of the things that are happening down in the tunnel now, some of the changes we're making. We've already increased the lighting level in there, and we're adding some supermarket mirror-type devices in that place so that from any place you are in that tunnel, you can see around the corner, down the other way. And the other thing that we're exploring right now with Walt's department is putting a sound device in there, a speaker on the wall. The area will be marked that is sound monitored, and if somebody's in there and there's a problem, you holler out, and they're going to hear you at security. So that's where we stand now. It's not there yet, but that's what we're looking for doing, and I'd appreciate hearing comments from some of you on what you think about that idea.
It's excellent. Put it in today.
Thank you.
Yes?
Is there anything that can be done to increase the lighting in the lower lots?
The lower lots?
Yeah, I mean, at where I am, we make an effort to never walk down to the lower lot alone, okay? But once you get down there, their car's way over there and yours is over here, and it's dark out there. And you end up having to stand there scraping off snow, and it's quiet, and it's dark, and it's not a good situation.
We can certainly look into that possibility. In the meantime, might I suggest that if your cars are in different angles, you go to one car first, get it started and scraped off and so on, and then drive it over to the second one. Takes a few minutes longer, but you're not alone then. Yes?
Hi, I'm in the pottery studio a lot. It's completely encircled by windows, and I guess my middle name could be Paranoia. When it's middle of the night, because you can see in very easily from the outside. You've mentioned phones are a money problem. I can understand that and see that, but there's no phone available later than when the Wood Center is closed and you're in the building, and sometimes you don't want to leave. I think maybe as a temporary measure, one of the professors should give up their phone, put it on a table outside in the hallway, just as a temporary measure, because there is a phone up there, but we can't get to it. I don't think they should leave their office open, but in the Brooks building, they do have a phone on the third floor, outside in the hallway, on a table, and I don't think anyone would vandalize the phone. It's there for the protection.
Good. This is something we may be able to do internally. Ron, would you look into that and confer with me?
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill Schechter is going to love me for this remark. But if you're in a hallway in this building and you got a problem and somebody's on your case, pull that damn fire alarm. You'll get more people than anybody knows what to do with.
Yes.
This is only a temporary problem because eventually it'll be gone. But during the remodeling of the library, we have two cul-de-sacs over right behind the library where the doors that used to go out don't anymore.
That's right.
Okay, those are virtually blocked off at all hours of the day, completely enclosed. And I'm wondering if perhaps there shouldn't be some kind of extra security put there, because people who work in the library come in and out of there, and those that work in there late in the evening, I mean, there's just, no one goes in there unless they're going into the building.
It is a trap.
It really is a trap. Paul, are you still here? Yeah, can you look into that one particularly, although we'll be taking a list. Yeah. Was there something else? Yeah.
You're not going to love me for this, but I think it's pretty important if it's going to save someone's life. The university could purchase windows that you can see out of but not into. And it's you are in a fishbowl if you're up there. Anybody is in a fishbowl.
Yeah, this is a possibility. Those things always, I don't like them because they act as a mirror and you look like you're watching yourself all the time. It's sort of funny, but yeah, we will look into that. Yes?
The street on the way to Harvard Hall is not well lit to begin with, and there's bushes, and one of the lights is burned out. The light should be replaced, a street light.
Yes, that is one thing. When I used to live on campus, I'm sure I drove security nuts because I always kept reporting streetlights that were burned out. Also kept losing my cat. I hated that. Anything else? Yes?
Exactly what are you looking for or toward in terms of lighting for the stairs, particularly the going down the hill toward University Avenue?
Is that the stairs that starts out near where the totem pole is? Yeah.
Is there anything specific that you've already looked in? Because that always, I think, has been a very dark spot in terms of security and almost even not being able to see the steps well enough.
It's an important place, too, because it's a big interface between College Avenue and the campus. George?
There is some additional lighting that's going to be mounted on the poles that are already there to shine down and cover that area. And next summer, when we can do some excavation again, there's going to be two new light poles put down on that road to cover that area going out. Another area that we got done this year and we're doing some more work on is the pathway that is the normal way to go from New Married Student Housing over to the campus. For many years, that was just a path through the backyard, had no lights. It was never shoveled. It was just a path through the snow. This year, that is a regular sidewalk. It's been paved and graded up to New Married Student Housing, and some lighting has been put in, and there's some additional lighting that's going to be going on that in the next few weeks. Also, from the other side of New Married Student Housing, over to the back of Moore Hall, and then down to the gym. That's another path where an awful lot of people travel at night. We're going to add some lighting in there, too, within the next few weeks.
Okay. Anything else?
I just add one thing on telephones. I've always insisted that each of our shops have a phone in it, not only for the individual's protection, but in the event of an accident, there's a phone there to call for help. There is no payphone anywhere in this building.
Except the library is the only place where there's a payphone.
Library.
At 11, the public
yeah.
can come into this building.
I've dealt with the problem in terms of even patrons coming out of the theater or the concert hall who find themselves for one reason or another needing to make a phone call, and there is no place for them to do that.
Yeah.
I think each wing of the building would be well served by at least one payphone.
Yeah.
I think it would help to have a payphone outside someplace too, because the buildings aren't always open.
This is a problem that was brought up at another meeting, and because it's soon, I guess, about to be really cold here in Fairbanks, the outside phones add other problems, but it is true because you can even walk outside and suddenly realize you've left your car keys inside and your purse and you are locked out and there is no phone outside and everybody's gone home and really the only thing you can do is to go to security and bang on their door and so on. And if you have an axe murderer after you, that doesn't help.
Apps on the wall right now that are used for various conferences. Over in the Wood Center, there is one on-campus only phone, I believe, that's there. If that phone could be made secure so that it wouldn't get ripped off every time we turned around, I don't see the objection to simply plugging a phone in here in the Great Hall and putting it mm-hmm. on a small table. If there was a way to make it secure, perhaps mounting
yeah.
it on the wall.
Would it work if this was a...
Taps are in.
What about a payphone? Those things are bulletproof.
Yeah. Yes.
Your quarter.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a payphone would be really helpful for making phone calls and stuff. I don't know technically about phones very much, but if you're worried about people being on the phones a lot or vandalizing them, isn't there a type of phone that would just give you a direct line to
we
a security
could,
type?
We could get a phone with a direct line to security, which you could say I've locked out of my office or there's someone suspicious in the hall or something horrible has just happened, come over here right away. That may be the way to go together with pay phones so that we have both kinds of systems. Yes?
Rather than a phone, why not just some sort of an intercom? It won't be having the chance of being vandalized so much. You just push a button and say, hey, help me.
Yeah, at another meeting we did talk about both phones and intercom that would be connected immediately to security or just an alarm thing. You press a red button. There are difficulties with both. In phones, people rip them off and take them home. With the buttons, people press them and say, ha-ha, and run away. I frankly feel that is a price we simply have to pay. After all, we do have fire alarms on this campus, and in spite of the fact that people play with them occasionally.
Right now, every elevator has an intercom in it directly to security. Every elevator in every building on this campus.
So that's a good thing to do. Well, I think we're running out of time. I know you're all busy. I appreciate your coming. If you have other ideas and you want to have them listened to, send the ideas to me, to security, to Mr. Riley, the safety officer. Any one of us will be glad to get these together and to the appropriate people. Thank you. Thank you very much.